I'm Lauren. I'm a pharmaceutical business major and I have a minor in marketing, and I'm from Belchertown, Mass.
Okay.
I'm Sammy.
Morgan.
Marketing communications advertising major. I also have a minor in entrepreneurship and I'm from Wilbraham, Mass.
Okay. I missed your name.
Sammy.
Sammy. Okay. Hi, Sammy.
All right. Hi, I'm also Lauren. I'm a marketing communications and advertising major as well, and I'm from Ashland, Mass.
My name's Maddie. I am a senior, and my major is communications with a minor in marketing, and I am from Albany, New York.
Okay, outside of Massachusetts.
Yeah.
The only one.
Yeah. I'm Caitlin. My major is marketing. I'm also from Albany, New York.
I did not know that.
A little bit outside of it, but yeah.
And I'm Aubrey. I'm a senior marketing communications advertising major from East Windsor, Connecticut.
Okay. Well, hi everyone. Does Jerry Fitzgerald still work there?
Yeah. A lot of us are in his class.
Yeah, I'm in his class.
In class with him right now.
Well, tell him I said hi.
Okay.
Yeah, he a long time ago I used to work at the Red Cross and he was on the board there.
Oh, really?
And then when I was at Red Cross, he used to recommend interns for me for communications and marketing. Oh. And so he always was able to tell me who were good students and would probably be good interns. And he was right. Yeah.
Well, I think he likes all of us, hopefully.
Yeah. Some of that.
All right. So we just wanted to start out by saying it's nice to meet you and thanks for taking your time to let us do this. And so our questions for today will focus on different aspects of your life and just to get to know you a little bit better and learn more about your digital magazine Lioness. And our topics include your childhood, starting off your career, Lioness, and inspiring female entrepreneurs. So our first question to start off with was, what was your childhood like? And do you ever picture yourself where you are today?
Okay, before I answer that question, I have a question, which is, so this is for a podcast assignment?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so are you recording audio from this?
Yes.
Oh, but not video.
Not video.
Okay, wonderful.
Yeah.
I just wanted to know. All right. So what was my childhood like? I did get the questions in advance. I thought, what was my childhood? You know, I think it was a good, typical childhood. You know, my parents were divorced when I was young, probably four. I think I was maybe five. And, but outside of that, I mean, my father... Yeah, obviously, when they divorced, he moved out the house, but he moved across the street. So he was, he was right there, a walking distance away. I think other than that, I was very involved in a lot of things. I was in church choir, sports. I played basketball from the time I was 7 through high school. I was on student government. I was editor of the yearbook. I was very involved in a lot of things. And I think that I started out, I wanted to be a journalist. I think that's what drew me to the yearbook. And at some point I thought I wanted to run my own business. And so, yeah, I guess without really thinking about it too consciously, I did think at some point I would end up here, because while I'm still not a journalist, I run a media company. So I guess I'm a journalist by default. And I have my own business. So yeah, this is where I wanted to be.
Cool. So our next question is we're wondering how you keep yourself motivated every day.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's a hard thing to do, because I'm a human, and I think that I live a lot in my head. I am often thinking about things that could go wrong. Am I doing things the right way? I think I'm probably a bit of a worrier, which is something that I work to not do, to worry all the time. But I remember being young and talking to my mother, because I would always be like, Mom, how do you know that this isn't going to happen? Or what if this happens? And she would say, Dawn, you know, let tomorrow worry about tomorrow. And I was like, what? I thought she was nuts. And so I think it's been, so for me anyway, I have developed some things that I do, you know, adopted over time to kind of help with my motivation. One, I'm a spiritual person, so I do pray and I do read scriptures and things like that. But also, I had found something called The Miracle Morning. And so there's a man called Hal Elrod, and he wrote a book called The Miracle Morning. And in it, he outlines six things everybody should do every morning. And he calls them SAVERS. That's an acronym. And so it's silence, which is like meditation. So he's, you know, he's trying to make them fit into this acronym. So silence, which is meditation, affirmations, just affirming thoughts and thinking. The V is for visioning, so spend some time visioning where you want to be. The E is for exercise. The R is for reading. And the second S is for scribing or writing. And so I do that. I do those in the morning. And it's been really good. And it's been really good for reading, because maybe you're like me where you download or purchase books with the intention to read them, like, you know, business books or biographies, whatever it is, and never read them. But just reading like 10 pages a day, I've busted through quite a few books. So that part I get really excited about. But by doing the SAVERS in the morning, it just helps me to set the tone for the day, get my mind together, and to really think positively, be thinking more about where I want to be and not so much about whatever challenge might be facing me at the moment.
Awesome. And then would you be able to summarize your resume for us, or like how you got started in the business field, more specifically entrepreneurship?
Yeah, because my resume, I will get to the point. My resume, I like to say I've had a liberal arts career, because I've done a lot of things over time, and my resume is quite varied. But let me see, around the time that I was working at the American Red Cross, I was the director of communications there for the state of Massachusetts, I revisited an old passion that I'd had. Because when I was in my 20s, I mean, I know I still look like I'm in my 20s, but I'm not. But when I was in my 20s, I had started a coaching business, or tried to start a coaching business. And actually had kind of like an online, it wasn't a magazine at that time. I think it was kind of like a magazine. That's funny. Yeah. But and so, and I was still in college. And so I had started this thing. It was called Woman of Confidence. And it was like a magazine, but also I was doing something like that I was calling a confidence pageant, because I thought, what are people having beauty pageants for? I'm like, you know, I would want to be a part of a pageant that valued different things, you know? So I was thinking about networking skills and the ability to speak publicly and different things like that. And so I had launched this thing, and I had applicants from maybe like 38 states. I had, you know, this was in the, at some, when was this? I don't know. This was some point in the early 2000s. I had a lot of visitors. I had like 1,000 visitors a week coming to the website. I had women emailing me from around the world saying, oh, we need you to bring what you have here. And I was like, well, what do I have? Because I didn't have any real products or any way to monetize this thing. But I just had traffic and I had stories. I had women who'd agreed to write about their lives and about their business journeys and things like that on a website. And so I really was overwhelmed at that time. And I kind of walked away from it because I didn't know what to do. I tried to get some help from a professor. She wasn't helpful. And I just didn't really know what to do. So I just kind of moved on with my life. And so years later, now I'm working at the Red Cross. It just was always in the back of my head to do this coaching business and to really help people unlock their inner potential. Like that, I had a passion for that. And so by then the coaching field had really expanded quite a bit. And so I went and got a certification to coach. And so I was trying to do my coaching business on the side while working at the Red Cross. And so the funny thing about disasters, because I was working in disaster services, is that they don't schedule themselves. And so there's random fires and there's things all the time. And so I wasn't able to be as consistent with the clients and the business that I was building. And so I decided to leave my career at that time and to pursue running a business full time. And so that is really how I started, or how I became a small business owner.
Cool.
Awesome. So at what point along your journey in the business world did you decide to start Lioness? And would you consider that your full-time job today?
Well, yes, it's absolutely my full-time job today. What happened was that then I didn't actually, I'm not the founding partner of, I'm a founder, but the real founder, but my business partner is the one that really started Lioness. So she had been working as a reporter. She was a journalist. And then she, at some point, started her own public relations firm that was called the Lioness Group. Now, as she was doing PR for different, it just so happened all of her clients were like female entrepreneurs, but as she was doing PR for them, when there would be opportunities for the women to get together at a conference or whatever, she would notice they would be asking themselves, they'd be asking amongst themselves best practices. How do you do this? Or how did you pay for your marketing? How did you figure this piece out? And she was asking them, like, why don't you just read Inc. or Entrepreneur or something? And they said, those publications are for men. You know, they're geared toward men. The stories are about men. They feature men. And so she went to do some research, like, is that true? And she was like, yeah, there were many publications for professional women or women in business, but there weren't any for a woman that wanted to start a high growth startup. And so that was kind of like the birth of Lioness, because she thought, I could do this. And so she asked different women in the community if there was something like this, would they read it? And most of them said not only would they read it, but they would help her launch it. And they would write for it. And I was one of those women. And so I was a part of the beginning of Lioness as a writer. And so now Natasha was kind of working on Lioness and I was doing my coaching business, which was called Woman of Confidence. And she asked me to do some customer development for her, which is a nice way of saying sales. And so I, because in a previous career, I used to sell advertising. So that's where that was kind of coming from. And so I came on to do sales for her. And one day, we were at her house for a meeting and she was kind of like, you know, would you leave your business and run my business? And I was like, yeah. And she thought, wait, did you hear what I said? I don't think you really heard or understood what I said. But I was like, no, I did. And yes, I will do that. But when we really started thinking about it, most of my coaching clients were female entrepreneurs. And so I said, you know, I don't know if I need to leave my company, but we probably can merge them and we can do, you know, the best of both worlds. So women can come to lionessmagazine.com. They can get news and information, you know, and feature stories. But then if they need additional help, they can get coaching services too. And so that's what we did at that time. And that was 2015.
So you, in one way, left your coaching business, but instead merged it with this magazine to become what it is today.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's what happened. So, and that was its own interesting thing, because now here I am coming into what was somebody else's baby, you know, and making a lot of changes, you know, like right out the gate. And so in that, you know, I had to learn how to really step into the role of CEO. You know, and it took me some time to do it, because I think I was very aware of not wanting to offend Natasha, or not wanting to seem like I'm changing what her vision was, but just trying to make some of the business practices, some of the processes a little more efficient, and even severing some relationships with vendors and things that weren't working for us. And so that was tricky sometimes too.
What have been some of the other challenges that have come with starting a woman-led female empowerment magazine?
You know, there have been challenges. I mean, one is just getting the word out about what you're doing, trying to get customers, trying to make money. I mean, people, I don't know if people ever talk about that as a challenge, but it's challenging to find people that want to give you money. And then for us, because we have a membership model that want to give you money month after month, and become kind of part of your community, that's been a challenge. And then I think at a, just like a really basic level, it's been a challenge sometimes just telling people about what we do. It's not foreign, you know, we're running a media company for web, you know, we're running a media company and we are a news company. We deliver news about and for female entrepreneurs. It's not complicated. But as you talk to people, especially men, there's a lot of pushback on that concept, you know, and then sometimes, especially like men of color, that oh, we need this. And I'm like, well, go start that, you know, go start what you need. That's what business is right now, right? You see a need in the market and then you fill it. But so I think sometimes just justifying our existence has been a challenge, because before you can get to the a meatier conversation, you might be trying to talk with somebody about a partnership or funding or whatever it is, before you can even get to that piece of the conversation, you have to have this other conversation about why you're even here.
Okay. All right. So next question. When was the last time you negotiated for yourself?
What do you mean? Are you talking like a salary negotiation?
I think just kind of in general, like it doesn't have to be one specific thing, just something where you kind of fought for yourself or what you believe in or something to that effect.
Well, it's interesting because I'm in a business partnership. So there's two of us. So in some way I'm like negotiating all the time, right? Yeah. Because you have two people, in the business, you know, with different, I mean, you have the same vision and ultimately the same goal, but sometimes you have differences in opinion of how to execute that or even what's the best thing to do right now. And so I find there's a lot of mini negotiations that go on, coming to agreement on, you know, moving forward. So there's that kind of negotiation that happens. In terms of, because in your question, it sounded like I heard a little bit about like advocacy, like advocating for myself. Is yeah. that? Okay. So in terms of that,
if you don't have a,
it's a tough question, for sure.
I feel like I'm just trying to, I feel like I, is this going to be edited or is this going to be played like as is?
It's going to be edited.
Yeah, probably edited.
Okay. No, I guess I'm just thinking about, I think in some ways, especially going through different accelerator programs and being in startup spaces that sometimes I do have to just advocate or just to establish why I'm here and why I deserve to be here the same way everyone else who's here deserves to be here, where mm-hmm. someone else, maybe, you know, a white male could walk in and no one's questioning why he's there. There are spaces that I go into where people are questioning why I'm there. Sometimes in a indirect way, and sometimes in a very direct way. I mean, I've had people say to me, well, I'm not sure if you're here because you're Black, or I'm not sure why you're here, maybe because you're Black. And so, yeah, then those are conversations that have to be had or decisions that I have to make to say, how exactly do I want to handle this? So I think there's been a lot of it. You know what I mean? It's hard to just, I just think there's been a lot of that, a lot of negotiating space, negotiating. In some ways I'm negotiating, the other person doesn't know, but I'm helping you understand how to communicate with me so that I don't go off, you know, or so that there's not a big problem. And so I think there's, on different levels, there's a lot of it that happens, you know?
Okay. Well, that was a difficult question. Thank you. Okay, next. How do you see Lioness Magazine growing in the upcoming years? And especially with everything that's going on in the world right now, how do you think that's going to kind of affect the magazine?
Yeah, it's something that we've been thinking about a lot, you know, obviously a lot the past few weeks, but we really want to position ourselves as a leading voice for female entrepreneurs in the world. And so right now we do have a global audience. We have women visiting from like 100 different countries, and it's really exciting. In terms of the changes and what's happening in the world right now, I think getting good quality news that you can rely on is more important now than ever, because I'm sure that you, like me, have seen on whatever social media platforms you use and in your DMs and your inboxes, all sorts of things that people are forwarding. Some of it is complete nonsense. Some of it is, it like has a bit of truth, but the rest of the information is not reliable. And it seems like the public now more than ever needs to have sources they can go to where they understand the information that they're getting is accurate. That is something that they can rely on, is something that they can take action on, and telling them like where to go to get the good resources, what's happening in the government with as it pertains to female entrepreneurs. And so I think we're in the right kind of business for the type of, you know, the situation we're in right now. And I see it being something that will be an asset to us, you know, as we move forward.
Okay.
Great. So what was your most successful magazine post and why do you think it was successful?
Well, what I can say, I don't know if it's the most successful, but a very popular post that it ran years ago, but it still gets a lot of traffic, it's called 10 Cool Websites for Women. And so I think people are always looking for cool websites for women. And so it's something that continues to get a lot of traffic and a lot of visibility on the site.
Awesome.
Okay. Who do you think are your biggest competitors?
Our biggest competitors right now are the female... I guess it's kind of indirect. The Female Entrepreneurship Association, they're an association for female entrepreneurs. They used to have a publication that they've phased out. So I think they're not as direct, you know, competition as they used to be. But they have a lot of resources and information for female entrepreneurs. And then Entrepreneur Magazine, maybe a year or two ago, they launched Women Entrepreneur, which is like a spinoff of Entrepreneur, specifically catering to female entrepreneurs. So it's exactly what we're doing. And it's interesting because they launched with the exact colors. You can see, I don't know if you can see my lioness t-shirt. They launched with our exact color scheme and everything. So they are definitely a big competitor right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What other magazines on the market inspire you?
This is funny. Okay, so and it's
you can say that too. Uh-huh. If you don't read other magazines, you can say that too.
Yeah, I'm not. It's funny. I'm not a big magazine reader, but we're moving away from the term magazine because we're really a media company. So if you think of us like a TechCrunch or something that don't have a physical magazine, but they are BuzzFeed or something like that that has a lot of news and information, but is not necessarily considered a magazine. So that's kind of where we are. But I do consume media. I'm trying to think where I go. You know what? It's actually a blog that I really like. It's called Ask a Manager. Workplace and different things and getting advice from this woman named Allison. And I love the content. I love the comments. The comments are really smart, intelligent. And so that's something that I do consume on a regular basis.
Okay, awesome.
Are we?
So what would you say is your biggest takeaway from building up Lioness Magazine?
I think my biggest takeaway is that you really have to trust your own instincts, because there's always someone, you know, they talk about in business being coachable, and you want to be coachable because you want to be able to get advice from people who have done what you're doing or have been where you're trying to go. But at the same time, if you're building something that no one's built before, which is by definition, that's what a startup is, you know, it's something that is unique in the marketplace. And when we started, this was unique in the marketplace and still is. That means that no one could have gone exactly where you're trying to go before. And so you really need to be able to trust your own instincts in terms of what decision to make. There's been times in the past that I was taking advice from somebody, kind of going against my better instincts, and we've lost time because of that. And so I think that's the biggest, that's probably my biggest takeaway.
Awesome. Well, do you ever think that there will be a time where you'd leave Lioness for whatever reason?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think my business partner and I, we've talked about exit strategies and things like that. There's a thing in the startup world called aqua hire. So it's like you're acquired by a company, but also hired by the company. And so in the media world, the aqua hires, like in the outside of media, those aqua hires, a lot of times the company itself is disbanded. They're really buying the company for the talent. So they're more just hiring you, but you get to exit that business. In the media world, what we're seeing is that people are being acquired, and now your Lioness will like stay intact, but being backed by a bigger media company with more money, more resources. And so we've talked about that. If we were to have an opportunity like that, I would have to think about if I was going to stay on or go off into the next chapter, because just like many entrepreneurs, I have like 10 other ideas that would be interesting to pursue. And so it's something that I think about. I guess the answer is I really don't know. I could see myself being with Lioness until I die, you know, and then I could also see myself leaving Lioness in some capacity to go to pursue other things.
Awesome.
Okay, so our last question is, what is your biggest piece of advice for the future generations of female entrepreneurs?
Really to just do it, to take action. You know, women, there's research. There's a book called The Confidence Code, and there's all sorts of research about, you know, women and how they approach things versus men and how they approach things. And women, we like to have all the research. We like to have all the I's dotted, the T's crossed before we even take a step. And that is a hindrance, you know, and you've probably heard about failing fast, you know, in your business classes and everything like that. There's no time. I mean, you can't spend 5 years doing research and making sure you know everything and making sure you know that one more thing you need to know for this to be perfect. I would advise to abandon that. You know, if you have a product or a service, just get out, get a customer, offer it, sell it. And then, you know, and I'm not saying you can't also research. If you just love to research, also do that. But you have to get out and you have to get moving. I think that's what's killing us in a lot of ways, is just the perfectionism and the need to have everything in perfect order before you move forward, because nothing's ever in perfect order.
Okay, awesome.
Well, that was really inspirational, and I appreciate you talking with us. I think I speak for all of us when I say thank you for being a part of our podcast, and I'm very lucky that I was able to talk to you, and I'm sure everyone else is too. But that was our last question. So again, thank you so much for just being able to take the time out of your day to chat with you. And we just can't wait to see what's next for you and Lioness.
Yeah, and I hope you sign up for our newsletter, you know, stay posted. And I do look for interns on the marketing side of things. So if that's interesting, I do have a job posting in your student services. For all of you seniors, though?
I'm just two of us.
Just two of you. So yeah. If it sounds interesting and you want to, especially if you have any kind of proficiency in Google Analytics or SEO or just the digital marketing, if you're interested in that type of stuff, then shoot me an email and let's talk.
Great.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.